consist of high quality, but the ever-imperiled presence of Christians in the Holy Land. Today will be our last celebration of Vespers at 5 p.m. There will be no confessions this Wednesday evening. The parish office will close on Tuesday, November 22nd at 12 noon and reopen on the Monday after Thanksgiving. There will be one Mass on Thanksgiving Day at 9 a.m. in English and on Black Friday at 9 a.m. in English as well. We will have compline or night prayer sung in English at 7:30 p.m. on all Sundays of Advent. Thank you to the McAfees who have given us from the funeral home the calendars of the saints. So please pick one up on your way out of Mass today. Finally, whenever we talk about serving at the Holy Altar, we are very happy to have the gentlemen that we have who come in every Sunday when they're here, Sunday in and Sunday out, in order to serve Holy Mass. We are very grateful for them. But of course, the only problem with these boys is that they get older, and then they end up going off to college and to work and all of these things. And so it's important for us to always be replenishing them with young men from the community. And I'm looking at some of you around here now because I have an invitation to you. In order for us to continue to do solemn masses and masses of this type of the extraordinary form, we absolutely have to have servers who understand how all this works and are trained properly to do that. And so Joseph Mershon, who is around here somewhere, he's taping the homily, has graciously offered to help us with server training, which is wonderful. So on the four Sundays of Advent, beginning next week, all those who wish to learn how to serve the Latin Mass are encouraged to come to Mass at noon, bring a bag lunch, and from 1:30 to 2:30 undergo server training for the extraordinary form. So it is very imperative that we have some of our young men who step up to the plate and do this. And we also are always in need of people to do various things at Mass. We always need ushers. We always need, we don't need extraordinary ministers or lectors at this Mass, obviously. But for people to really take ownership of the community and to do what is necessary for everything to go smoothly. So we're very grateful for those who are already doing those things. And it's important for us to add to their number. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, we have this, what is really quite terrifying, image of the end of the world. I can only imagine what this would look like if there was a feature film presented of this. It would probably be absolutely terrifying to see it on the silver screen, but of course it will be more terrifying to actually see it in real life. Now, of course, there are some biblical scholars who tend to put these pieces of the scriptures into this kind of literary genre called apocalyptic. And they say that these things are not necessarily playbooks for the end times, but are highly symbolic. And it's important for us to kind of understand the symbolism to understand what is being taught by them. But either way, there is still a literal understanding of the scripture as well. And it is important for us to realize that everything that is created will have an end. And when we think about those created things which we have become attached to and that we've come to love and we see how they end, then it's something which can be very bewildering and scary and strange for us to see and to experience. So imagine the world as we know it, the world that has been the world of history, the world that has been the place of the incarnation of the Son of God, coming to that end. In this, we hear some of these words which are really quite interesting. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty, and he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. We know by our faith that at the end of each individual life, that each person is judged for how they have loved. But we also know that when the world comes to its point of fulfillment, then the entire world will also be judged when our Lord will come in his awesome majesty. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the feast of Christ the King, and we are reminded that on this earth, we have a duty to build that kingdom of justice and love and peace here. And that when we do not do that, when we do not activate our baptismal calling, our baptismal vocation to holiness, that things fall apart. And that it's necessary for us to help restore all things in Christ on this earth, and in doing so, usher in the new and eternal Jerusalem. But of course, we are told by Christ in this prophecy that before this end of all things, before this fulfillment of all of things, then we're going to see a lot of very strange things. We see the basic prophecy of the Antichrist. Lo, if any man shall say to you, here is Christ, or there, do not believe him, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, one of the things which is very important is spiritual discernment. Okay. Our Holy Father Pope Francis uses this word quite a lot, and it's important to really kind of break down what it means, is that when we discern something with the Holy Spirit, then it is important for us not to think that just whatever passes over the neurons of our brain is coming straight from the Holy Trinity, right? On the contrary, we need to engage these things and realize, okay, where are these things coming from? And often when they bring us a sense of anxiety and fear and tribulation, then we can have a sense that they are not from God. But if they bring a sense of peace, of rest, and of joy, we know that those things do come from God. And that is why it is also important for us to be very circumspect in our looking after signs and wonders. You know, sometimes I can be very firm with people who are Catholics who tend to get completely carried away by all kinds of extraordinary manifestations of charismatic gifts or extraordinary manifestations of miracles. Not because these things never happen, because they do. They are part of the life of the church. But that we should never look after them. We should never seek them. Because so often we forget the fact that these great signs and miracles can often be simply prodigies of nature that we just can't explain, or they can be things which are done by the power of evil. And so it is important for us not to put our trust and our faith in these things, and even if they may be true, to test them and to have a certain kind of healthy skepticism towards them. And that comes with things like miracles and apparitions and things like that. We know that if we cling to Jesus Christ and his word, which we are told in the gospel endures forever, then we lose absolutely nothing. And then if, by chance, some amazing sign or miracle and wonder happens to us, and if that is truly from God, then we thank God for it. But if it's not there, we don't think that something is necessarily going wrong. Precisely because, as our Lord has foretold us, that even the Antichrist can make use of these things to deceive the elect. So it is important for us, again, who are called the saints by Paul in Scripture, to have that spiritual discernment to seek after heavenly things. And those heavenly things are building up that kingdom of justice and love.